So, tua bhakti anukul jj karja hoy param jatane taha karibo nischoy. So, tua means your, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaking to Krishna. So, what he says, whatever activities are favorable for your devotional service, I vow to take them up very carefully, very seriously. That's my firm determination, he says. Bhakti anukul joto vishoy shangshare karibo tahate roti indriya dare. He says that whatever in this world of sense gratification is favorable to your devotional service, I will perform all those activities through my senses. I'll be attached to performing those activities through my senses. Shunibo tomar kata. Then he goes through all the different senses, how they can be engaged in Krishna's service. Shunibo tomar kata jatan karya. Dekibo toma dham nayan bharya. Through my ears, first of all, I will hear topics of tomar kata, talks of you, topics of Krishna. There are two basic kinds of talks about Krishna. One is which is spoken directly by Krishna, especially Bhagavad Gita is most famous. And topics about Krishna. Krishna means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is in ordinary English rather vaguely referred to as God. God means the Supreme, and Krishna, that's a post, just like we say, the President of the United States. So that's a post. But the person occupying it happens to be, for a few more days, someone called George Bush Jr. But the person who always occupies the post of God is Krishna. So, discussions about Krishna. That's another kind. Krishnasya kata and Krishna Vishaya kata. These are two kinds of Krishna kata. Then, dekibo tomar dham nayan bharya. So what will we see with our eyes? Here Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I will see your dham. It means the abode of Krishna, or where he lives. So if we see the abode of Krishna, of course the abode, there are various abodes of Krishna. He has, everything belongs to Krishna, but his particular places of living are Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwaraka. And Dwaraka. You're from Dwaraka, is it? You're from where? From Saurashtra area. From that area. So Krishna is Dwarakanath, Mathuranath, and Vrindavanath. And he's also in his secret avatar. In Bhagavatam is referred to as Channa avatar, covered avatar. That his dham is also Navadvip dham. And particularly Bhaktivinoda Thakur served Krishna in Navadvip dham. You like to sit on a chair? You're uncomfortable there? No? You're alright? Okay. There are chairs also, if anyone's feeling uncomfortable sitting on the floor. So if we see Krishna's dham, we don't only see Krishna, but we see everything in relation to Krishna. And everything in relation to Krishna reminds the devotee of Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung some songs about that also, about how everything reminds him of Krishna. Toma prasade deho karibo poshan. I will nourish my body by Krishna, by your prasad, the food offered to Krishna. That nourishes the body, but that also gives spiritual nourishment. So the devotee vows to take only Krishna prasad. I won't take any other food than that which is offered with love to Krishna. Naiveda Tulasi Gran Karibo Grahan. And the Tulasi, which is the very dearest plant to Krishna. There are so many plants are dear to Krishna. But the dearest of all is Tulasi, and the smell of that which is offered to Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wants or he vows to smell that. So we're thinking how to use every one of our senses. In material life, everyone is thinking how can I use all of my senses for my personal pleasure? But a devotee is thinking how to use all of my senses in service to Krishna, how I can purify my senses. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is vowing to do that, and in this song is giving us the clue how we can also do that. Karadvare karibo toma shiva shada. By my hands, I will always serve you. So with our hands, we can do many services, just like we see the pujaris are with their hands offering the aarti, cleaning the floor, and then behind the scenes, cleaning the brass. So with the hands, many services are to be performed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to, with his hands, serve Krishna, always. Toma boshati stale boshibo sharvada. And where shall I live? I shall live in the place where you live. Krishna lives everywhere, of course, but again, particularly his places of living or Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwaraka, Navadvip Dham, and there, wherever the deity of Krishna is installed by pure devotees and worshipped, then Krishna, that's also his place. This temple is the spiritual world, inasmuch as the Krishna is here and the devotees are dedicated to serving Krishna. So this is also a suitable place to live, favorable place to live for devotees. Toma shevai kam nijo karibo. My desires, I will dovetail. That's the word that Srila Prabhupada used. I will dovetail them with your service. So we have so many desires. We want to do so many things. And the consumer society is increasing our desires. No one would desire to drink Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola, for instance, unless it was advertised. If it wasn't advertised, it would sit in the shop until the end of Lord Brahma's day. No one would ever buy it, but only because it's advertised. People think, oh, let me buy a Coca-Cola. So we have many desires, and they are those desires are created or increased by propaganda. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is making propaganda. Let us desire to serve Krishna. Let us do everything for Krishna's service. Toma bideshe jane krodha dekhaibo. And I will show anger to persons who are envious of you. So he doesn't say, I won't be angry. He said, I will be angry. Every devotee should be angry against those who are envious of Krishna. Of course, you don't have to shout and scream, although sometimes you may do, because that's a symptom of anger. But it's not that we just simply say, yes, everything is okay, everything is wonderful, and you can blaspheme Krishna, and that's also wonderful. Everything is wonderful. No, everything is not wonderful. Of course, in one sense, it's wonderful that people are so... It's a kind of reverse, wonderful, but not in a good way, that people, they deny the existence of God, or they say that they believe in God, but they deny the supremacy of Krishna. So we saw Srila Prabhupada, of course, nowadays we often hear stories, we like to hear stories about how Srila Prabhupada is smiling and telling jokes, but actually, as a pure devotee of Krishna, he was angry at the atheists. That is a symptom of a pure devotee. If you love someone and someone else speaks badly of that person, you don't say, oh yes, that's true, very nice. That's not love. Love is to love those who love the loved one and be dissatisfied with those who are envious of the loved one. Erupe sarvabriti ar sarvabhav tua anukul hoye labhuk prabhav. In this way, he says, in all my inclinations and all my here sarvabhav means all my emotions, I will make them all, I will gain power in devotional service by making them all favorable to your service. Tua bhakta anukul jaha jaha kari, tua bhakti anukul bali taha dhari. Whatever I do that is favorable to your devotees, tua bhakti. No, I don't catch the meaning of this. What does it say? What's the translation there?
Anything I do which gives pleasure to your devotees, I will embrace as conducive to your devotional service.
Okay, thank you very much. Did everyone hear that? Whatever I do that is favorable to your devotees, I will embrace that as being favorable to devotion also. Is that what it says?
Yeah, okay.
Bhakti vinoda nahi jane dharma dharma, bhakti anukulta hao shab karma. So this is a very important statement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that I do not know what is dharma or adharma. In Vedic culture, which is very different to Californian culture, just in case anyone hadn't noticed, everything is based on consideration of what is dharma, what is proper according to the laws of scripture, according to the laws of God, according to the laws of the universe, and the great epics, as they are called, Ramayana and Mahabharata, they demonstrate how in human society dharma is to be followed and the results of adharma. Both, for those of you who know the basic plots of Mahabharata and Ramayana, in Mahabharata, Duryodhana especially was trying to gain power by totally sinful methods. And similarly in the Ramayana, Ravana, he gained power and enjoyment of this material world by sinful methods. So for some time they appeared to be very powerful, but they were vanquished due to their sinful activities. So the basic message is that one should act in a manner that is good. And what is good is not according to what people who have a sliding scale of morality decide, but there are fixed standard of what is proper and what is good within the universe. And everything that we do has a result, either good or bad. So, one should know what is dharma, what is proper, one should know what is adharma, and avoid dharma and adharma. But Bhaktivinoda says that I don't know either of these things. Of course, he's a great philosopher, a great scholar, and a great devotee, so he knows what these things are. But what he's saying is that beyond bhakti, pure devotion to Krishna, is beyond the ordinary considerations of what is proper and what is not proper. That's why sometimes people ask questions, why did Krishna dance with so many people's wives? Why did Krishna induce Arjuna to fight in the battle? Why did Krishna induce Arjuna to kill Karna when Karna was in a position not to defend himself? But the point is that Krishna is absolute. So, of course, this is a very big discussion, but the point is that pleasing Krishna, that is on a platform above and beyond that of ordinary proper and improper activities. Even though a devotee doesn't generally or whimsically perform improper activities, generally a devotee is, even from the standard civil point of perspective, a very well-behaved person. But for serving Krishna, a devotee can do anything. That is the point. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Bhakti anukul ta hau shab karma. He says, let all my activities be favorable for devotion, beyond the normal considerations of dharma and adharma. Could someone please give me a pair of kartals and then we'll sing the song. I thought I'd just discuss the meaning of it before singing it, and that will be more, and we'll get more out of it when we sing it, isn't it? And we need a bhakti karma. Yeah, okay, thank you very much. These look not very sweet. Do you have any better ones than this? Are these your personal kartals?
Yeah.
I didn't bring mine.
Those are my wife's.
Because Hare Krishna. So in this way there are many songs of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in which he gives instruction or suggestion on how every person in their daily life can at every moment be engaged in the service of Krishna and in this way be a pure devotee of Krishna even while living in this world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a great example of this. He was a married person. He wasn't a monk or a sannyasi. He had a big family, a normal sized family in those days. Nowadays we would think it's a big family. 13 children. Nowadays we'd be shocked, but that was normal before the advent of family planning and the idea that there are too many people in the world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a large family. He responsibly looked after them. He was a highly posted government official. But he was fully absorbed in serving Krishna. Even though he was working. He did his work quickly. He was very expert. And then he came back at night to his residence and he would eat a little, sleep a little, and then get up in the night, as our own Srila Prabhupada did, and write. So he wrote many, many very important books. And
Jai Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. This is the mercy of
Jagannath Mata.
Jagannath. Jai Jagannath. I'm very fortunate to get this. Beautiful smells. Who's growing these flowers? Are these locally grown flowers? Devotees are bringing them?
Yeah. San Francisco. Malati.
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 Malati, there, where's the Malati flower?
Malati.
That's also in... That's also in season now. It seems to be the same flower, Malati flower, but it's not here. So, well, there's another way. There's a practical suggestion. Whoever has a little land, if you have a few square feet of land or in your garden, grow flowers and make garlands and bring them and offer them to Krishna. And Krishna will be very pleased. Pleasing Krishna is not difficult. Just the intention has to be there. Krishna is very pleased with flowers. Krishna makes the flowers grow. But if we cultivate the flowers and offer them to Krishna, Krishna is very pleased. We don't have to bring millions of dollars. And of course, if we do, that's also nice. That can be used in Krishna's service. We're not against that. Actually, all the money in the world should be offered to Krishna because everything belongs to Him. We won't lose if we offer everything to Krishna. Krishna looks after everyone. The ants get their little grain of sugar, whatever they need, and the elephants get what they need, and the dinosaurs get what they need, and everyone gets what they need. But if we offer, especially flowers, Krishna is very fond of flowers, especially fragrant flowers, like this is very fragrant. This is called Gandharaj in Bengali. I don't know what's it called in English. Is this gardenia? Is it? It's gardenia. Yeah. And this, of course, is a rose, which doesn't have as much smell as they used to. Must be all the chemical fertilizers and everything. But anyway, these flowers are—they're very nice, aren't they? Krishna likes everything which is very nice. So if you offer all the nice things to Krishna, we become happy. It's very easy to be happy. People in America, especially, it's the most materially successful country in the world overall. I mean, there are countries with a higher standard of living, but overall, taking the size and the dominance, etc., of America, it's the most successful, materially developed country in the world. And it's dedicated to the happiness of the individual, but no one's happy, because it's dedicated to the happiness of the individual. Because people don't know the secret how to be happy. The devotees who grow, we can buy flowers from the shop, that's good too. When you come, please, you buy some flowers, buy some fruit, offer it, bring it to Krishna, place it in front of Krishna, pray to Krishna, Krishna, please accept this offering from your servant. But especially if someone can grow flower, and just see, plant the, whatever, however we grow it, if we plant the sapling, and then watch it grow, carefully water it, don't put too much water, make sure there's enough, maybe need to keep it in a greenhouse in the winter. You don't have much winter here, I think. Must be something. Then, and see it gradually budding. Now it's perfect. Let me make a nice garland and offer that to Krishna. So the happiness that a devotee gets from growing flowers and offering them to Krishna is far more than people with so much effort. They get money and then what do? Like they go water skiing. You have to have money to go water skiing. And they go around on the water. Oh, I was just in San Diego. I mean, in the morning walking on Pacific Beach boardwalk and seeing someone goes every morning water skiing. So it's a big endeavor to go water skiing. I guess you have to get trained in it too. You probably fall in the water otherwise. But there must be some kind of pleasure. But the pleasure that a devotee gets from offering flowers to Krishna is unlimitedly greater. And it's also purifying, because the result of offering flowers to Krishna is that one will get the opportunity in the next life to get out of this, not to be born in this material world at all, but to go to Krishna and eternally offer flowers to Krishna. Whereas the result of water skiing is that in the next life we become a fish or a dolphin or something like that. Because whatever consciousness we cultivate in this life forms our next life. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing here how everything we do that should be centered on loving service to Krishna. This can be done by everyone. It's not something which is beyond the grasp of any. Everyone can do this. But it is, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Karibo Nischoy. Yeah, well, there's things which are favorable to Krishna's service. It's also not so favorable to have your cell phone going off in the temple.
I don't even know where it is.
You don't know where it is?
No.
It's yours, but you don't know where it is?
I mean, I don't know what pocket it's in.
So all right, okay. You're just waiting for it to go off. All right. We won't condemn you to hell this time. Next time, maybe. It takes the decision that this life I want to serve Krishna. Now, it takes a a very wise person to do this, because all the propaganda around us is not to surrender to Krishna. The propaganda is buy Coca-Cola, buy everything else, buy this, buy that, get more money, enjoy yourself, you will be happy. That is the implied message. We will be happy by getting more and more things to enjoy. Get your vitamin E, anti-aging, so you can go on enjoying up to the last gasp. But someone who has got transcendental knowledge understands, or even, actually, even without having a very high level of transcendental knowledge, if we just look all around us, we'll see that people are not satisfied by indulging themselves in sensual activities. And if we consider further, we'll see that that is actually the level of an animal, to engage in sensual, all these activities of the eyes, ears, tongue, belly, genital, indulging these activities in engaging the senses with the sense objects for the sake of sense pleasure is the platform of the animals. So we can't expect to have a very developed consciousness if we are simply engaging in animalistic activities. So the same senses, if they are engaged in the service of Krishna, that purifies the consciousness. But one has to understand this. Therefore, we have Bhagavad Gita, which describes the whole process of what's going on in the universe and why we are suffering, even though we try to enjoy in this world, and how we can be free from the chain of suffering, which goes on and on and on and on. We may think that death is a release. If we're suffering a lot, we may think that death is a release. That's why people commit suicide, I guess, to get free from suffering. Or there was the... There's many cases. There's the famous Marie Antoinette. I'm not very good at pronouncing French, so sorry if there's any French speakers around here. But she was sent to the guillotine in the time of the French Revolution. And as she was, after being imprisoned in the Bastille, those of you who know something about European history will have heard something about this, some of the most famous incidents in European history. So as she was going to get guillotined, which is a very sophisticated for the time method of chopping your head off, killing people, it's quick and it's effective. Of course, it doesn't always work. Sometimes it kind of got stuck there and they had to pull it all up again and say, okay, just keep your head there and we'll try again. But generally it's supposed to, anyway, we don't talk about different methods of execution. But the executioner said to her, take courage, madam. And she said, I'm not afraid. This guillotine to me is the greatest friend, because she'd been suffering so much in prison. She was thinking, great, death is great. I can get free from all the suffering. But it is not so. We can't get free from suffering just by snuffing our life out, because life goes on. Either in this body or another body, we have to change our consciousness, purify our consciousness. As long as we are in putrefied consciousness, or the consciousness of let me enjoy my body, we have to go on suffering. Or even if we think that this is too much suffering, so let me stop all of this. But even that is not pure consciousness, because pure consciousness means this consciousness of accepting that I am the servant of Krishna. My natural position is that of servant, not of master. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving guidance on how we can serve Krishna. And even in this life, we will be very happy in doing so. We will be purified by doing so. And we will prepare ourselves for not getting born again in this material world, but entering the spiritual world to eternally serve Krishna. I was requested to finish by 7:30 so everyone can take prasad and get back in time. So I'll finish this little speech here and ask for any questions, comments, anything. Yes, please. Hare Krishna.
Please be in the presence.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I don't know how to begin this, but I basically follow Krishna consciousness.
You basically follow Krishna consciousness.
I don't really offer all my food, although I'm a strict vegetarian.
You're a strict vegetarian, but I'm just repeating this so everyone can hear. But you don't always offer your food to Krishna. Yeah.
And I definitely do not have a taste for meat or all that. And I've done a lot of service and stuff.
You don't have a taste for meat, and you've done a lot of service.
Oh, God. That's...
Yeah, well,
I don't really like
most vegetarians, it's... Once you become a vegetarian, then the very smell or thought of meat is repulsive.
There's no real thrill in eating dead animals to me. Anyway.
That's a sentiment I share.
Thank you very much.
There's no thrill in eating dead animals. Yeah.
I really have no desire to live in a temple.
You have no desire to live in a temple.
No, because they got too many rules.
Too many rules. You have to get up at 5 o'clock. Well, actually, it's earlier than that, 4 o'clock.
Well, that's even worse than that. But I am really sensitive to the world around me.
You're sensitive to the world around you.
What's going on. And what really, kind of like touches my heart and brings tears to my eyes is... At 10 p.m. when I'm coming home from somewhere or something, you see this long line of cars at McDonald's.
What really gets you is at 10 o'clock at night if you're driving and you see a long line of cars at McDonald's.
Yeah, and
which means that that's the guillotine for the cows.
But it's just a waste of human life.
They're wasting their life, that's true. Oh, definitely. If you're a McDonald's fan, then you don't get a human birth in the next life.
The majority of people are, though. You know what I mean?
The majority of people are heading for a rather unfortunate next birth. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, that's why some people should live in the temple and practice Krishna consciousness very seriously and at least set an example for others. And maybe everyone can't come up to that level, but at least they can come up to some level. Someone should show the example, right? And then those who are fully dedicated, they have to propagate this knowledge also. I mean, if you're working full-time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he did a lot of work. He did a lot of propagating of Krishna consciousness also. But those who... Actually, one reason why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who was at least superficially his son, set up this system of having... ashrams and having renunciants was because he saw that the followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they were all grihasthas or people living at home, and they didn't have the time for a serious heavy propagation of a serious heavy message. So we don't expect everyone's going to live in the temple, and we don't insist that everyone lives in the temple, and it's useless to do that anyway because most people aren't going to live in the temple, but someone should. And everyone else should, who can consider what is the purpose of life and how to attain it, should consider very seriously how I can do or come up to the best standard I can not living in the temple. I mean, for instance, you could offer all your food to Krishna. It's not that much effort to do so. It's just a suggestion. But it's not just a matter of routine. I have to do it. But if one gets in the consciousness of how I can please Krishna, then even you can start to offer all nice things. And at home also you can offer flowers. so many nice things. Yes, please.
I have a comment.
You have a comment? Yes. Yeah, you have a comment on what was said?
Living in the temple is not necessary.
Living in the temple is not necessary.
You need to be with a similar mind.
You need to be with similar minded people.
That is called satsanga.
That is called satsanga.
And if you are with a similar minded people, you can hear the same thing.
If you're with similar minded people, you can hear the same thing. That's true.
The same thing, and then naturally your consciousness will be.
Satsanga is most important. Sometimes we don't find satsanga in the temple. That may be true also.
Wherever you are, why do we come to temple? Because here we hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And that gives us a big support, big strength.
Yeah.
So temple is very because
we are with the similar mind people, and that is the satsanga. You don't need to like I was saying, it's good that some people should fully dedicate their lives also, because it's a fact that if one is not living in the temple, then unless one is independently wealthy due to having some inherited wealth or something like that, most people have to work hard, get a job, and mix with people who are not talking about or thinking about Krishna and don't want you to also. And the tendency to have material attachments is that may be more strong also. So we shouldn't, although it's not necessary for everyone to live in the temple, we also shouldn't undermine the dedication of those who do so. No, all right, please, sir. Oh, I have to. Okay, this is the last, so please make it brief, because okay. I have to finish up here.
All through this talk, I was hearing about how important it is to please Krishna.
Yeah, you heard how important it is to please Krishna.
Could you explain just why is it so important?
Why is it important to please Krishna? Well, it's important for our own self-interest to please Krishna. If we really want our own self-interest, then we should try to please Krishna, because we are part and parcel of Krishna. We are His eternal servants. And only by serving Him can we be happy, and only by serving Him can the whole human society be happy. So, in brief, we should serve Krishna for the benefit of ourselves and the benefit of the entire human race, because that's the only way there can be any real benefit. And all the suffering in the world is because we're forgetting Krishna. It's just like the example is given: if we pour water on the flowers, twigs, or branches of a tree, the tree remains unnourished. So, all activities are going on in human society with the wrong focus. The focus should be on satisfying Krishna. Yasmin tushte jagat tushta. Then everyone becomes satisfied. So, I'm going to be good and finish on time here. And I'd just like to announce one thing, that